Good morning, my fellow patriots. We are all patriots longing for our true country, our heavenly country, seeking to proclaim the truth of our true country to the world because Jesus could come back at any moment. He may even come back before 3:30 today. And so I call us all to carry the banner of Christ because we are all patriots. Now, it may be great someday to soar on the wings of eagles, but right now I want to be a patriot. Patriot for the Lord. The year was 1985. The United States economy was booming. Technology was increasing at a crazy rate. Science was stretching the imagination of what humanity could do. I wasn't alive yet, but I'm sure many of you can remember the 80s. It was a time of unparalleled success in United States history, and there was this one organization. They set out to create the most technologically advanced vehicle that the world has ever seen. But like most companies, they don't make all of their components in-house. They outsource things, and so this organization is making this new vehicle, and so they outsource the creation of the fuel tank for their vehicle to another company, a company called Morton Thiokol. And so they said, we're looking for this type of fuel tank, make it to this specifications. And this company, Morton Thiokol, they say, sure, we'll make it for you. And so they get their engineers together and they design this fuel tank. And it's perfect. It works. It fits exactly the specifications that they were given. They test it. They run it out in the field. And it works perfect. They finished it on time for this organization. And everything looked great. Except for one engineer. One engineer named Roger Beausoleil. And he said, there might be some conditions in which this fuel tank doesn't work. There's a possibility that this fuel tank may fail. But none of his bosses listened to him. It's like, Roger, we've tested this in the field. We've seen it on paper. We've seen it in action. We know our fuel tanks. They do not fail. And so they ignored his advice and they sent it off to the parent organization. And then came the time. January 1986, the vehicle was completed, ready to go. And the parent organization was so excited to unveil their technological marvel to the world. So big, in fact, that they actually got television crews to film the unveiling of their new vehicle. And so the night of January 28th, 1986, they're getting ready to go. And they're running through their last tests. But that night it was cold. It was so cold, it was actually freezing underneath 32 degrees Fahrenheit. And the organization, I'm sorry, that's not true. And Morton Thiokol, the subcontractor, they're ready. They're ready to see this vehicle unveiled. And Roger Beausoleil is there and he's saying, you guys, the conditions I said the fuel tank would fail is when it's cold, when it's below freezing. And he showed them all his data and he told his bosses, see, our fuel tanks will fail if it's freezing. And the company was convinced, okay, we see the data. We're on board with you. We should not use these fuel tanks. And so when the parent organization called for the final sign-off from Morton Thiokol, they said, no go. Do not use our fuel tanks. They will fail. But the parent organization would hear nothing of it. They had to unveil it that day. They had to show the world. This was the seventh time it had been delayed. There was no turning back. They had to unveil their new vehicle. And so they pressured Morton Thiokol to reconsider. And they actually forced Roger Beausoleil out of the conversation. They got all the engineers on the phone and they excluded Roger. And they forced them to give them the go. And Morton Thiokol did. They said, okay, our fuel tanks are good. And so they said, we're a go, we're a go. And on 11:38 of January 28th, 1986, the Challenger launched off the coast of Cape Canaveral in Florida. And for 73 seconds, it was great. Until that fuel tank, that solid rocket booster on the right side, exploded, slammed into the middle tank, the external tank, created a giant fireball, sent the ship straight into the Atlantic Ocean. The most technologically advanced vehicle in existence, the space shuttle, crashed NASA, the only agency to ever put a man on the moon, failed at their mission. What could have possibly gone wrong? And for those of you that either have not seen the footage or you're a visual learner, I want to show you exactly what happened that morning. So I want to see this video.
And liftoff of the 25th Space Shuttle mission, and it has cleared the tower.
Good roll program confirmed. Challenger now heading down range. Engines beginning throttling down now at 94%. Normal throttles for most of the flight, 104%. We'll throttle down to 65% shortly. Engines at 65%, three engines running normally, three good fuel cells, three good APUs. Velocity, 2,257 feet per second. Altitude, 4.3 nautical miles. Downrange distance, 3 nautical miles.
So the 25th Space Shuttle mission is now on the way after more delays than NASA cares to count. This morning, it looked as though they were not going to be able to get off.
1 minute, 15 seconds. Velocity, 2,900 feet per second. Altitude, 9 nautical miles. Downrange distance, 7 nautical miles.
That's the Challenger, one of the saddest, terrible tragedy. Seven people on board died. What caused that to happen? They did not listen to advice. They refused to take the advice of the engineer who helped build the fuel tank. And because they refused to listen, because they cared more about their prestige and launching the next space shuttle and continuing the greatness of the NASA space program, that happened right there. We've been talking about wisdom. We've been talking about wisdom in this series, and today I want to look at that the wise person listens to advice. And preparing this sermon, I was looking through the book of Proverbs, and I counted over 30 verses that relate to listening to advice. That this idea to listen to advice is pretty important to God. That the wise person is truly someone who listens to advice. And in our sermon series, we've been looking at wisdom. And we've studied first how important wisdom is. And then last week, Kenny gave a great message on the heart of wisdom. That the wise person's heart, it's not just a heart attitude, this passive undertaking, but it's a heart posture, a taking action to humble yourself to gain wisdom. And today I want to continue in that vein, that the heart of a person, the posture we have, is one that listens to advice. Because if we don't listen to advice, bad things often happen, and bad things have happened. We must listen to advice. And so what I want to do today is first I want to look at the type of heart that listens to advice. And then I'm going to look at where advice comes from. And then finally, I want to see the consequences of what happens when we listen to advice. So first we're going to see the right type of heart that listens to advice, who we should listen to, and finally, what happens when we listen to advice. And so, what is the type of heart that listens to advice? The type of heart is one that loves advice. The right type of heart, the wise heart, is one that seeks out correction, that seeks out discipline, that is always willing to learn. This theme is all over Proverbs, and so we're going to read a bunch today, but if you have your Bibles, grab them and open up to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. Proverbs is going to be in the middle of the Bible, or close to the middle. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1 says this, the word of the Lord. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. Let me read that again. Yeah, right. Like, no, not pulling punches today. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. We must love discipline. This is crazy. Who wakes up in the morning and says, I can't wait to be disciplined today? No one thinks that. But this is what wisdom calls us to love correction, to love discipline, to love advice. That to not heed correction means that you're not just foolish, which is often the word that Proverbs use. You're just straight up stupid. You are stupid if you do not listen to advice, and that we are called to love advice, to love discipline, to love rebuke, that the heart of the wise person is someone who seeks out discipline, seeks out correction. And I was just thinking about it, that if the things that we love, the things that we love in life are the things that we naturally seek out. If you love someone, whether your spouse, significant other, family, friends, like you seek out to spend time with them. You race home from work to see them. You like rearrange your schedule and get things done so you can spend more time with them. Or if you love a sports team, you seek out information about your favorite sports team. You're the person that's always listening to the radio because you have to know what's going on with all your players. You watch every interview. You spend the time and seek out that information. Or if you love food, if you love a certain food, you're always trying to seek out that food. You look for every opportunity to get your favorite food. When people are like, hey, where do you want to go to dinner? Don't you always say, let's go to Lucille's, right? We seek out our favorite places, our favorite things. That the heart of someone who loves something seeks it out. And if we love advice, if we are being wise, then we must seek out advice. We must seek out correction. We must seek out discipline easier. This is the heart of the wise person. Someone that says, I desire wisdom, and so I am willing to humble myself and seek out and find it. Even if that means correction, even if that means rebuke, even if that means discipline, my heart is set on finding advice, finding wisdom. And so find people that can speak into every area of your life. That the wise person says, I want to grow in every aspect. So seek out advice in your relationships, at your jobs, in your careers, in your planning, in your families. Find people that can speak truth and give you advice on how to go in this life. Because the fool, the stupid, is the one who doesn't take advice. Look down 14 verses to chapter 12, 15, just the next page over. The way of fools, Proverbs 12:15. The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. And we see that the fool, the way that the fool is walking on, the way that the stupid person is walking on, it seems right to them. Oh, my path looks great. There's no obstacles. I'm just going to trudge ahead. But the wise person says, oh, the path looks great. There seem no obstacles, but I'm still going to ask for input into my life. I don't assume that I have it all figured out. I don't assume that I see every pitfall down the way. And so I am constantly looking for advice into my life because I don't just assume everything is going well. That I invite people to correct and help lead me and give me advice so that I can walk in the way of wisdom. The fool is the one that says, the path looks great, I'm trudging ahead without any input. The wise says, this is the path in front of me, and I would love input so that I can walk that path in a God-honoring and great way that brings great success in this life. So don't assume the way you're going is correct. And it's good to be confident, that's not a bad thing. But the wise person is the person who says, I need advice. I seek out advice. Help me walk this path called life. You're willing to reconsider your ways. You're willing to say, maybe I didn't see that ahead, and I want to hear what you have to say. Because the mocker doesn't. The mocker doesn't. And flip over to Proverbs 15:12, a few chapters ahead. Proverbs 15:12, like I said, this theme is all throughout the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 15:12, mockers resent correction, so they avoid the wise. Mockers resent correction, so they avoid the wise. Mockers, the fool, the stupid person, they resent. I mean, just like the the emotion dripping off of that word resent. Like, this is just hatred at its core. They hate correction so much, in fact, that they actively go out of their ways to avoid wise people. That they meander through life making sure they don't bump into someone that can give them advice. Making sure that they don't bump into a wise person that can help correct their way. That this is the heart of the mocker, the heart of the fool, the heart of the stupid person, the heart of the person that doesn't take advice. They actively find ways to avoid it. And so we're given this proverb so that we do the opposite, so that we do the reverse, that we don't avoid the wise. But just like the first proverb we read, we seek out the wise. We seek out advice. We love it. We put ourselves in the ways of wise people who can counsel us and give us advice so that we can walk well and live well. This is the heart of the wise person, who seeks out advice, whose heart is set, says, I even love discipline because I know it's going to further my life in good and great ways. And I'm sure that as I'm talking right now, as we're reading these Proverbs, your heart just naturally cries out, I don't like being corrected. I think that's pretty universal. No, really, I don't think we wake up just saying, oh, I can't wait to be corrected today. I know I don't. Like, correction stings. It feels like you're not adequate. It feels like someone else sees things better than you do. But the heart of the wise person is the one that can say, yes, I know that maybe I don't inwardly love being corrected, but I want to be wise, but I want to live well, but I want to see my life thrive under the kingship of God. And so I am willing to take advice in because I see the future. And I know that if I listen to correction now, if I'm willing to humble myself and listen to what others say, my future will be better. And so in the present, because I see the future result, I say, bring it on. Correct me, advise me, discipline me, show me the way that is right, because I so desperately want to live a life that honors God. I see the end result of listening to advice, and in the present, I lean into it now. This is the heart of the wise person. But what about the people we don't like? It's easy to take advice from someone who loves you. It's easy to take advice from someone that you view as just the wise person to listen to. But what about people that we don't like? Or what about people that seem to be beneath us? What do we do? And the second thing about listening to advice is that we listen to advice no matter where it comes from, no matter who it comes from, because pride kills our inability to listen to advice. So flip back two chapters to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13:10. Says this, where there is strife, there is pride, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Where there is strife, there is pride, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. And the way that most of the Proverbs are written, almost every single one, is a couplet. You have two lines that are related in some manner, and sometimes they say the same thing. Sometimes the second line strengthens the first line, but oftentimes, like this one, they're in direct opposite correlation, that you have one side of the coin and the other side of the coin. And this is what we have here in this Proverbs, that on the one side, where there is strife, there is pride, and on the other side, but wisdom is found in those who take advice, and they're pit against each other to say the wise person is the humble person. The wise person is the unstrifeful person. That the opposite of pride, the opposite of strife and fighting is the willingness to take advice. That the heart of the wise person is someone who puts aside their pride. That says, in a moment of listening to advice, I am not concerned about my own ego. I'm not concerned about being seen as the person who's got it all together. Not being seen as a person who has everything figured out. Not to be seen as a person with the perfect plan. And so that pride causes fighting among us. But we say, no, I am humble enough. And I push down my pride because I am always in need of advice. And that this is the heart of wisdom, that we're willing to listen. We're willing to listen even in the midst of wherever advice comes from. Because if we don't, disaster can strike. The year was 1912, over 100 years ago. And Cyril Evans was sailing through the Atlantic Ocean on the SS Californian, a really small ship. He was the radio operator for this ship, their sole radio operator. And they're sailing on the night of April 14th. And they're sailing through the night, and the captain comes into Cyril's little cabin where he's working all his radio stuff. And the captain informs Cyril, "Hey, we're surrounded by ice. We got to stop. We're going to stop sailing for a while. Let this ice move through." And the captain ordered Cyril, "Radio out. Let other people know that there is ice around in this area of the Atlantic Ocean." And so Cyril grabs the horn, and he's starting sending out radio signals to all the other ships in the area, including this one ship that had just moved into their region, the biggest ship the world had ever seen. And Cyril gets the horn and radios out to this ship, "Hey, there's ice in the area, wanting to let you know." And on this other ship, on the bigger ship, they have multiple radio operators. Like, this is a big ship. They got lots of them. And so they're in their radio cabin sending out messages from their passengers. Their passengers wanted messages sent along. This is what they were in the midst of doing. And so when Cyril radios in, these ships are really close together. They're not separated by a lot of water. And so when the message comes into their headsets on the bigger ship, it's really loud. They had their volume cranked all the way up, and Cyril's voice booms in their ears. And we have radio transcripts of this, that they said, "Shut up, we're busy. Shut up, we're busy." They ignored the message that Cyril had sent. They had bigger issues to care about. And 15 minutes later, the SS Titanic hits an iceberg, sinks, over 1,500 people die. Because the pride of the radio operators, they were too concerned about their own tasks. They were too big, they were too important to listen to this small little radio operator on a small little ship called the Californian. And that Cyril sent out the message, "There's ice in the area, be careful." But they were too preoccupied. They were too big to listen to his message. And it caused one of the biggest disasters in sailing history. All because of their annoyance. All because of their pride. That when we are proud in the midst of hearing advice, it often leads to disaster. Where there is strife, there is pride. But wisdom is found in those who take advice. That we are called to take advice no matter where it comes from. Even if it comes from someone we don't like. Even if it comes from someone who just seems beneath us. Even if it comes from someone who, honestly, their life decisions may be more foolish than ours. That at the heart of the wise person that says, "Yes, I am willing to listen to advice no matter where it comes from. My pride will not get in the way of me listening to advice." Because we're called to listen to advice for our entire lives. So flip over to Proverbs 19, a few chapters ahead. That listening to advice does not have an expiration date. Proverbs 19:27. "Stop listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Stop listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge." That the moment we stop listening to advice is the moment that we start to drift off the path. And the book of Proverbs, like one of the biggest metaphors running through it, is this path, the journey of life, to walk the good path, walk the wise path. And you start to stray, you start to get off the path as soon as you stop listening to advice. That this is the call of wisdom, that you will never be wise enough, you will never be old enough, you will never have enough experiences or seen enough in this world to say, "Okay, I've made it. I don't need advice any longer." That we are called our entire lives to listen to advice, that this theme that we are constantly listening, always listening, that our pride, our age, nothing gets in the way of listening to advice. And I want to stop real quick because I know there's a big objection just staring us in the face. Is that what if we get bad advice? Not all advice is good advice. There's been some pretty poor advice given throughout the history of the world. And so what do we do? How are we wise in listening to advice even when we get bad advice? And in the context of Proverbs, it's easy, right? The context of Proverbs, well, it's the word of God, and the metaphor is a dad giving advice to his son. And the dad's always going to give give good advice. And so the reader of Proverbs is reading this, we're reading this, and we're saying, yes, this is all good advice. It's coming from the wisest person who's ever walked on the planet. But what about in our lives? When we go through life and we get bad advice from friends or neighbors or coworkers, how do we respond to that? How are we supposed to listen to advice in light of really bad advice? And I want to say that the heart of the wise person is someone who always listens to advice. That doesn't mean we always follow through with it. That we do get bad advice in life. But the heart of the wise person is the heart that is not proudful, that says, I'm willing to listen to what you have to say. And that oftentimes, even if we get bad advice in this life, it actually helps if we're willing to listen, if we're willing to hear their idea, hear their argument, if we're able to honestly listen and hear what they have to say, then it helps strengthen us in our own position. If we're willing to listen and to hear what foolish advice says, it actually gives us more confidence that we are actually walking in wise thinking. But I hope, though, that you surround yourself with wise people. Surround yourself with good people, good voices, people that have shown in this life good advice. And let these people be the foundation of who you listen to. But always have the heart that's willing to listen, that's willing to hear, that there in your pride never gets in the way of listening to advice. Because when someone wise, when someone who loves you, when someone you trust is speaking to you, when someone who continues to pour into your life, if you listen to them, your life often goes better. And this is where I want to end. Now, why do we listen to advice? Because life usually goes a lot better when we do. Flip over to Proverbs 13, verses 13 and 14. I told you there were a lot of Proverbs about listening to advice. Proverbs 13, 13 through 14. Whoever scorns instruction will pay for it, but whoever respects a command is rewarded. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. Whoever scorns instruction will pay for it, but whoever respects a command is rewarded. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. That when we listen to advice, when we're willing to take in advice, when we have the heart posture that says, yes, I will humble myself and listen, it usually leads to reward. It leads to the fountain of life. And I want to be clear, and we'll probably say this almost every week, Proverbs are not promises of God. They are general depictions of how life usually goes, and there are times in life when we listen to good advice and life doesn't go well. But on the whole, and the majority of time, the natural way that life works is that when we listen to advice, when we're willing to humble ourselves, when we're willing to listen to people who are speaking truth into our lives go better. We walk a good life. That this is the heart of wisdom. And nowhere is that more evident in my life than because I listened to my dad. And just to tell one story about me, I was in high school. I was junior, senior, starting to think about college. And I just started applying. There are a lot of colleges I really wanted to go to. And so I did the early applications and applied and sent in everything they needed. But there was one school I did not apply to. I did not like Biola University. I hated Biola University. And I just remember so vividly, like, there's no shot I'm even applying to Biola. It's too close to home. It's kind of small. It's like one of the ugliest college campuses I've ever seen. They got like a junior high school on their campus. There's like two small patches of grass on the whole campus. That's not Benji's cup of tea. Benji's not going to Biola. And I got the opportunity and invitation to come to one of their baseball practices to try out. And I was like, I'm not wasting a whole day. I'm not skipping school and high school practice to go to a college I'm not even interested in. And so I was just going to pass it up. And my dad goes, he just says one phrase to me. He just goes, Benji, keep your options open. Like, that's all he said. And in that moment, I was like, oh man, my dad's right. Like, oh, okay, I can give up a day, but you know, I guess I got to like complain about it and mutter about it. Like, argh. But okay, dad, I'll go. And so I called the coach and set up a time to go. And I went, and it was the best decision of my life. Biola was the best thing that's ever happened to me so far in life. And it all comes down because my dad said, keep your options open. And I know I've made a lot of dumb mistakes in my life, and I know that I've not always listened to advice, but Biola changed me and prepared me for life in a way that nothing else could have. And so looking back, I am so thankful. I am so incredibly thankful that for once in my life, I listened to advice because it changed the whole direction and course of my life for the better. That when we listen to advice, life often goes well. And I know that's just Benji's story, but I'm sure in your own lives or in the lives of others, you've seen people that make huge, monumental life changes, and all because it all starts because they listened to someone, because they were willing to listen to a small piece of advice that changed the whole trajectory of their life. That we are called as wise people to listen because we see the end result. And the last proverb I want to look at is Proverbs 15:22. And it just reinforces this idea, life goes well when we listen to advice. Proverbs 15:22. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. This is one of my favorite proverbs, and it's probably because I'm a perfectionist and I hate failing so much. And I know perfectionism is a sin. Ken has talked to me about this many times, and I'm trying to listen to his advice and not be a perfectionist. But I do think there is this call to say we want to do well in life. It is a good thing to do well. It is a good thing to seek to do well. It is a great thing to make plans. It is a great thing in life to have a plan, to have a goal, and to work toward it and to work hard toward it. It's almost silly to want to like fail at something. We don't want to fail. We don't want to make a plan that fails. And the message of Proverbs over and over again is listen to advice. Plans fail. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but the plans that succeed are the ones that have many advisors. And so as we live this life, as we seek to honor God and walk the path and journey of life in a way that pleases Him, in a way that prospers and thrives under the Lordship of Jesus, have advisors. Trust that other people can speak truth into your life. You cannot see every pitfall. You cannot see every fork in the road. You cannot see every tough decision that's going to come. And so as you plan your life and as you continue to see where you want to go, bring people in. Listen to advice. Let others speak truth into your life so that you will live well. That this is the heart of the wise person, the heart that is humble enough to ask for help, the heart that's willing to double check even when it seems like everything's going well, the heart that says is willing to pull someone aside and say, hey, can you just help me out? Can you just give me a word of wisdom? What do you think I should do in this scenario? Or what plan should I make so that I can honor God more and more in my life? This truly is the heart of wisdom. That we are called to be wise, and we are wise when we listen to advice. And it's the opposite message of our culture. That our culture says, don't listen to others, especially older people. Don't listen to them. Right? They're stuck in their ways. They don't know what they're talking about. That you need to figure it out yourself. Find your own way. Make mistakes in life, but figure it out yourself. This is the message of our world. And it's exactly the opposite of what God says. Listen to advice, especially older people. Don't make mistakes on your own. Learn from other people's mistakes. See the pitfalls that have fell other people and avoid those pitfalls. Be a person who humbles their heart and says, I'm willing to listen to advice no matter where it comes from. That be the kind of person that seeks out advice. That loves discipline so much that they are hunting it down and saying, please pour wisdom into me because I want to live well. And in the words of the the old song that if you've grown up in the church, you've probably heard sung, listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end you will be wise. It's a Proverbs 19:20. But listen to advice, accept instruction, and in the end you will be wise. Let's pray. Jesus, we humble ourselves before you. Father, we want to be wise. Lord, I want to be wise. I pray that all of us will want to be wise. And so I cry out that you would give us the type of heart that's willing to listen to instruction, that we are willing to listen to advice, that we seek out, that we love when people pour into us because we want to live well in your sight, Father. Lord, I pray that each and every person here would see the path set out before us, see the path of walking for you, and that we would bring others in. We don't want to walk this life alone, and so I just pray that our hearts would be wise, that we would seek out advice, that we would seek out instruction, and in the end, we would truly be a wise church. That is our prayer. And it is all because of your sacrifice on the cross that we can even approach you asking for wisdom. And so we say thank you. Thank you for dying on a cross and rising again. In Jesus' name, amen.